You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi. Two people are now confirmed dead after a chemical release at a Southwest Washington paper mill. OPB's Eric Newman reports work began Wednesday to recover the remains of those who are unaccounted for.
In addition to the two confirmed fatalities, nine employees are still officially unaccounted for at the Nippon Dynawave paper mill in Longview, Washington. On Wednesday afternoon, Washington State Governor Bob Ferguson described the scope of the disaster.
We're bracing ourselves for this being the deadliest industrial tragedy in modern Washington State history. When you have a tragedy of that scale, the impacts on individuals, on families, and on communities is profound.
The incident happened Tuesday morning during a shift change when a large tank of caustic chemicals ruptured. Investigators are trying to understand the specific cause. Emergency responders say some of those chemicals did wind up in the Columbia River next to the mill. They're warning people to stay out of nearby waterways. I'm Eric Newman reporting.
Thousands of immigrants across Washington could be affected by new rules for green cards. A federal policy change indicates many people will now need to leave the U.S. in order to apply. KUOW's Gustavo Sagrero reports.
Immigration attorney Carol Brown was swamped Monday with messages from her clients in the Seattle area. Many are looking to get green cards through marriage or a work visa and had the same lingering questions about how the policy change would affect them and if they could stay.
Is it still available? Is it still possible? The confusion, the uncertainty, the upset is real. Because you're impacting people's lives.
The new policy from USCIS says the original intent of the law is for people to apply for green cards at a consulate abroad, and applications from within the U.S. should only be considered under extraordinary circumstances. Brown says this upends how the process has worked for decades and will require people to uproot their lives. A legal challenge is expected. I'm Gustavo Sagrero reporting.
Managers from a variety of Northwest fire agencies are warning people to be careful while outside because of increasing fire danger. Northwest Land Commissioner Dave Up the Grove says his agency's crews responded to about 20 wildfires, most human-caused, during the Memorial Day weekend. The Department of Natural Resources has classified much of central and south-central Washington as high fire risk. Much of eastern and northeast Washington are still in the moderate range. The Spokane and Colville tribal councils have already decided to ban fireworks this summer. This is Cody Disatel, the executive director of the Colville Confederated Tribes.
Largely what we've heard from our membership is support for it, that I think they recognize a potentially bad season on the horizon. And so what we've heard so far is good decision, we're glad you did it now.
Disatel says tribal members are acutely aware of high fire danger, in part because nearly a million acres of tribal land have burned during the last decade. He says the tribal council's early decisions allow members to make early summer plans that don't include personal fireworks use. FEMA announced the approval of more than $12 million in post-disaster funding for public assistance and hazard mitigation grant program projects in Idaho, Oregon, and Washington. Funded projects include repairs to critical infrastructure, restoration to public buildings, road repairs, and reimbursement for costs incurred after a disaster. Through the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, state and local governments take proactive mitigation measures, like acquiring hazard-prone homes and businesses, adopting and enforcing building codes and standards, and protecting against floods through elevations and drainage improvement projects. FEMA coordinates directly with the state on all hazard mitigation projects. You're listening to KMUN. You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. Now turning to stories from Oregon. It's almost the end of the school year, and for kids completing their first year of school, there's a new diploma. As Elizabeth Miller reports, the kindergarten diploma can bring with it a $100 contribution to an education savings account.
Oregon's kindergrad program is part of Embark, formerly known as the Oregon College Savings Plan. Through this program, families can save money to go toward college or other post-high school training. Kindergrad is available for any Oregon kindergarten graduate. The state also offers baby grad, where a baby under one will receive $100 when their family opens up an Embark account. State officials say students with college savings accounts are more likely to go to college than those who don't have them. Oregon's most recent college-going rate is 55%, with some student demographics far less likely to pursue degrees. Elizabeth Miller reporting.
Rabies-infected bats have recently been detected in two Oregon counties. KLCC's Tiffany Ecker reports on what to watch out for and what to do if you encounter a sick animal.
Rabies is a serious viral disease that can spread through the saliva of an infected animal. Deschutes County has issued a rabies alert after a dog came into contact with a bat that tested positive. But rabies is also pretty rare. The rabid bat that was just detected in Douglas County, for example, is the first in that county since 2021. Peggy Cheatham is president of Umpqua Wildlife Rescue in Roseburg. Her first advice is to leave wild animals alone.
Whenever you're dealing with wildlife, no matter what species it is, there's always the danger that it could be carrying a disease. So it's really wise to not automatically jump in and rescue it.
Cheatham says some red flags to watch for in sick wildlife are foaming at the mouth, circling, or being out in daylight when normally nocturnal. She also urges keeping pets vaccinated against rabies. I'm Tiffany Eckert reporting.
A Saturday morning altercation in downtown Astoria involving a man with a machete resulted in a Tuesday arraignment of the man on multiple charges. Michael A. Valero Jr., 46, of Astoria, was arraigned on charges of assaulting a police safety officer, unlawful use of a weapon, resisting arrest, and disorderly conduct. An arrest was made after Astoria police responded to reports of a man swinging a machete and yelling at 11th and Duane Streets. When officers moved to detain him, Valero first punched one of the officers and then moved his backpack to the front of his body and placed his hand on a knife, according to a police report. Valero was briefly transported to Columbia Memorial Hospital, was medically cleared, and later lodged at Clatsop County Jail, according to Astoria Police Chief Stacy Kelly. Valero, who had been known to the police, had previously been arrested in April in Astoria on charges of criminal trespassing. He had been released on a conditional release agreement filed on May 18th. Valero was awaiting his next court date on June 25th when Saturday's incident occurred. A court date has not yet been set. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian, online at dailyastorian.com. Contractors in Tillamook are busy at work repairing the south jetty at the mouth of Tillamook Bay, on track to be completed by October 31st. The repairs will ensure a safe passage through the Tillamook Bay entrance, one of the most heavily used on the Oregon coast. Overseer Coulter Bennett said stone procurement for the project was essentially complete, giving him confidence work will be completed by the fall deadline. Work on the $52.7 million project began in 2024. In total, the project will see over 100,000 tons of stone placed in the jetty, with the repairs expected to last between 30 and 50 years before another similar project is needed. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Local and regional news is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Team. For more local and regional news, go to kmun.org/news. You're listening to KMUN.